Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll get to the golf for you for today in a little while. I want to talk about actually last Sunday. And last Sunday, if you weren't here, and if you were here, was just great. The youth did the service, they brought their energy, their gifts, their vitality, they laid out some praise songs, we gathered, we laughed, and we talked about their accomplishments throughout the past summer and in their growing and maturing of faith. And I left there feeling really uplifted that these teenagers had come together, that they had experienced a powerful moment in the company of one another, that they're so gifted musically and also not scared to share their faith with others publicly here in the church. Unfortunately, as we were here clapping, enjoying, praising, laughing, 7,800 miles away in a church on the outside of Baghdad in Iraq, a group about this size, 150 Christians came together. I'm not sure what it's like to be a Christian living in Baghdad. I imagine it has its share of problems, being that you are an outcast and an infidel. They gathered. They sat in pews like you. They faced an altar. There was a cross on the wall behind them. They were getting ready to celebrate communion. The pastor was behind the altar. The parents were removed. The wine was poured. The bread was readied. And in came six terrorists. They shot the pastor dead. They chained the doors. They put explosive on the windows and doors. And they began to negotiate for the release of some of their friends in jail. While we were in church yesterday morning, the negotiations had soured between the Baghdad authorities and the terrorists. The Baghdad authorities, who, in the hindsight of history, seem to be a little underprepared for a full-scale tactical assault on a locked and booby-trapped building, nevertheless came to the front door, set off the bombs, engaged in a gunfight, and 53 Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ, attending church at Our Lady of Salvation Catholic Church in Baghdad, Iraq, were killed in the ensuing explosions and gunfire. 30 more were seriously, and as time goes on, we will see if critically wounded and needed immediate medical care. Pretty much a whole congregation who gathered just like this, with prayers and hymns, a minister and pews and children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents and the choir, were wiped out. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. That is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs to you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We are here laughing. We are here full. We are here with joy in our hearts. And our brothers and sisters 7,800 miles away, well, they are there with explosives and guns and threats to their lives. In this sermon on the plains, similar to the Sermon on the Mount, Christ hints at a very real reality, a reality that I come in contact with daily, that life is often lived on the extremes. On the extremes of pain, on the extremes of sickness, on the extremes of death, and on the extremes of joy and prosperity and happiness. In one single day, I can go from the bedside of someone dying from cancer to a youth group meeting full of games, laughs, and giggles. How do we reconcile our lives to this? There are times in our lives when we too, our cup will be overfilling with happiness, with joy, with seeming blessing, with peace, with security. And then boom, something changes. A phone call from the doctor, a word from your spouse, a call from your parents, and your cup is empty. Worry overtakes you. Fear, wonder, doubt consume your thoughts. We live life on these extremes. The Christian church is no different. We have pockets of joy, of happiness, of growth, of security. And there are those who are experiencing disillusionment, fear, wonder, death. In Christ's words, we see that. Those who are hungry, you will be filled. Those who are filled, you will be hungry. Those who are happy, you will be sad. Those who are sad, you will be happy. The Christian life is one of hope. That whatever my situation is today, and your situation as you sit here right now, can be good or could be bad. Everything can be going your way right now. Financial cares, not a burden. Your health, a perfect checkup. Your house, not a leaky roof. Your children, perfect A's and attendance in school. Everything could be perfect. And the person sitting beside you, not so perfect. Health is failing. The bank account is shrinking. The debt is growing. The worries are increasing. The sleepless nights are getting more and more. Life in the extremes. And Christ comes into those extremes and says, no matter where you are in this continuum, from extremely happy, extremely healthy, extremely content, extremely safe, all the way on the other side of the graph, to sick, to sad, to poor, to hungry, no matter where you are in that continuum, no matter where you fall, God is with you. Now, I'm not just trying to sell you pie in the sky. I'm not trying to simply put a little salve on the wounds, to simply bandage up the scars and say, go on. Don't worry about those hurts. Put those things that bug you out of your mind. No. What I am trying to give to you is the good news of the gospel. That it, in the end, will work out. That we are being pulled towards something. And that something is the new creation of Christ, in which these things don't exist. Whether you live a life of 112 years, and it is a life of every day being happy, it is a life of every day being filled, of every day being rich, you will die. And if you live a shorter life, and every one of those days is filled with hunger, with worry, with doubt, with sadness and poverty, you too will die. Our end result is the same. None of us escapes the judgment of death. It is connected to our beings. It is the old Adam in us, When Adam and Eve are ushered out of the garden, God says to them, you want to know good and evil? Your days will be numbered. The land will be hard to you. Disease will be a reality. You will know war. You will know the hunger pains that come with poverty. This is our reality. And Christ sets everything right for us. Into eternity, there will be no more hunger. There will be no more poverty. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more discord. There will be, as God intended for us, perfection. This is the great news of All Saints Sunday. We don't come here and say, and think of all these people, husbands, wives, grandmothers, friends, brothers, sisters. We don't come and say, wow, I'm sure glad for the years I had with them. We come here and we say, wow, I'm sure looking for the eternity that I will spend with them. Because those are two very different things. Giving thanks for the years you had is looking over your shoulder. Faith looks forward. Faith looks forward to the new creation. Christ gathers the disciples up in John and says, I am going to my Father's house. And in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there, Christ says, to prepare a place for you. For you. The word communion means community. We are a community under Christ. St. Paul says we are all in the body of Christ. St. Paul says neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things past, nor things to come will separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. We are not separated from one another. We pray to God and join the heavenly choirs who have gone before us. We celebrate communion and taste the feast of victory that our ancestors and friends and sisters and brothers and parents already know all too well. We are joined and we look forward to the days that we have coming ahead. A days that we won't be separated by sickness, by poverty, by worry, by wars, by money. But days that we will only experience unity. Unity in Christ. It's an amazing thing. This is where the rubber meets the road for our faith. Christ is lots of things. A great teacher. A great advocate. A great man. A great worker for the rights of others. But ultimately what Christ is a Savior. We are being saved from something. We cannot deny Christ this simple reality that He is our Savior. Everything else is only proven correct by His salvation of us. His parables, His teachings of God, His words of instruction, all are validated for the fact of one simple reason, because the tomb was empty and the cross is bare. The world has known lots of great teachers, lots of great mystics, lots of great leaders, lots of great advocates, but the world's only known one Savior. Only one man has walked out of the tomb. Only one man can bring you eternal life. Only one man can offer the gift of salvation to the world. And that's a gift that we cherish today. It's a gift that we hold on to firmly. It's a gift that helps us see past the grave. See past the casket, the flowers, the nice little lunches. If I didn't believe in it, I'd be crazy by now. Maybe you think I'm crazy already. That's debatable. But it's the only way I move on. I know that when I'm at the bedside of the person with cancer, that when I am going to the couple involved in marital disharmony, when I am working with parents and children going through unspeakable things, that this is not the way God created the world. that this will not be the final word for their lives, that there is hope beyond every situation, that there is blessing, there is transformation, there is new life created. I am moved. I am not immutable. I find myself saddened. I find myself worrying about others. I find tears welling up in my eyes. I find my heart pulling for the needs of others. But I know that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things past, nor things to come will separate me, you, us, everyone from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. That there is something beyond what we see. St. Paul says, faith hopes for that which we cannot see. The world sees failure. Children who don't make it. Businesses that go bankrupt. Sick people who don't get better. Poor people who don't get richer. Dead people that just get deader. But faith doesn't see those things. Faith sees God. Faith sees Christ in action in the world. Faith sees God moving towards a new creation, pulling us forward, where these things will no longer haunt us, where these things will no longer bind us and have control over us. We come together on this All Saints Sunday, and we're all remembering people now. Mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, friends, children. We're all holding these people. But don't just remember the past. Don't just remember certain days, birthdays, events, summer vacations. But step out in faith and look forward to the future. Recognize that you will be joined together. That you will be at that heavenly banquet. That you will feast in paradise. And that is the great news of Jesus Christ. Amen.